Welcome to Phantom Island, brought to you by our friends at Homefield. My name is Stephen Godfrey. This is another episode of Numbers and Words with an individual named Bill Connolly. You asked, you shall receive. Bill is in book promote. Well, he's in season preview mode, but he's got a new book out too. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a lot about that. The book, you're going to hear him plug it, and you're going to hear me plug it, and I'm going to be just redundant about it. Because we're going to plug Bill's book. The book game is a little rough these days, so you got to kind of generate your own promotion. Forward Progress. That's the name of it. Forward Progress. Forward Progress. You can go to wherever you want to go. This is like, if you are anti-Amazon, I understand. You can definitely pre-order it via Amazon. I'm sure that'll be the fastest. Barnes & Noble has it. I'm looking at, like, as I am recording this, you can. There's a link to Target. Look at Bill getting on the shelves at Target next to those candles that no one wants to buy, but they always do. Look at that. It's impressive. Buy everything at Target, I guess. Anyway, go pre-order the book, Forward Progress, The Definitive Guide to the Future of College Football by Bill Connolly. If you are listening to this and you are not a subscriber yet, you are going to enjoy a little snippet. Oh, is that French? I don't know. A snippet of a free preview from myself and Bill, and then I'll be back to tell you how you can subscribe, or you can just do it right now and get access to the entire episode, as well as the entire catalog of what we've done on Numbers and Words, what Ryan is doing on We're Not All Like This, every episode of The Single Wing, a bunch of other stuff that's coming soon. By going to phantomisland.show for as little as $10 a month, you can support us. phantomisland.show. People are asking me, what are you going to do about, like, the coach gossipy stuff? I'm folding that into Single Wing, just so you're aware. It will come up as y'all submit the questions, so it's less of a formal eyes list sort of setting the bar right now as it is. If you want that info, go to phantomisland.show, sign up, submit the questions, and then I'll start kind of going from there. All right, last thing I'm going to plug before we get out of here. Again, our thanks to our friends at Homefield. Go support Homefield. Look, it's time. Get your new stuff. It's time. Get a dad hat. We are but mere handfuls of Saturdays away from toe meeting leather in the old tackle football. Last thing I'm going to promote, Saturday, August 23rd, I will be with my old Split Zone duo, at the second annual Sports Podcast Festival. It's in Raleigh, North Carolina. It is at the Rialto. That is Saturday, August 23rd, the Sports Podcast Festival 2025. The fastest way I can tell you is just Google Sports Podcast Festival Rialto. That's R-I-A-L-T-O. You can also check out any of the links over at Split Zone Duo, or I should have some links up on my socials as well. But I will be there at 7 p.m. We're going to headline it's like a slate of other podcasts that are, and one ticket gets you into everything. I know our friends at Big Screen Sports, that's a little tricky, will be there as well as others. So go check that out if you are in the Raleigh or North Carolina area. Again, it's week zero. So yeah, there's going to be some events the night before. I'm sure there's an unofficial gathering to watch, like, Farmageddon in Ireland on the TV. And then I think we hit the show. I think we're like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. I'm not sure, but Sports Podcast Festival in Raleigh. All right. Without further ado, let's talk to Bill Connolly about a book and about the college football. All right. Before we get started, but we have started. That's the meta context of the little pablum that everyone has on a podcast. But the way that you and I work conversationally is, if I didn't write this down and you don't say it right now, we're going to forget. So plug your book.
Forward Progress, The Definitive Guide to the Future of College Football, out September 2nd. As far as I know, it'll be in bookstores. There's evidently no secret plan to selling books in 2025. You just go on podcasts and rig the Amazon algorithm. So that's what I'm doing. And so let's rig that algorithm, pre-order. And, you know, it's good. It's good. It's like half history book, half manifesto. And I like how it turned out.
Great. Watch list material. Does it help if it's pre-ordered? Let's be clear.
It seems like it. Yeah, that's what I'm. I haven't completely figured out why that would be better than waiting, but apparently it is. Or it's very useful to have big pre-order numbers because I guess that helps to determine what Amazon displays and where. So
okay,
the more pre-orders. If you want to pre-order 10, I'm not going to stop you, but just whatever we can do to game the system in that regard is apparently a good thing. Because I will say the most annoying part about writing a current events book in the year 2025. About college football, is that the manuscript was due second week of May. The House settlement had not been finalized yet. The playoff expansion still is not finalized. So basically, I had like two to be continueds in two of the 10 chapters. It was extremely annoying. And basically, I need to sell enough books so that I can have a second edition that fills in those gaps. And then a third edition that fills in the gaps that one leaves because this is a very stupid sport sometimes.
Okay. All right. So the invective for anyone listening is that you have to pre-order it. Put it out there on social that you pre-ordered it so we can do that. All you Blue Skyers especially, but if you're listening to this and you're on Twitter, that's still a thing. So do that. Tell me you did it. And then that would probably be the most effective means of gaming the algorithm. Now, you mentioned your manuscript was due the first week of May.
Yeah.
You didn't like lock it. Like that was just, or what was it?
That
locked
was when it had to be
point?
Locked. It's a very interesting process. It's like 4 months before the book goes into stores. It had to be locked. And so did the best I could. I took some very educated guesses on how the house thing would play out, and I was right, basically. But it was pretty much guaranteed to be outdated the moment it hits bookshelves to at least some slight degree.
All right, watch this transition, or hear this transition. That was 2 weeks after all of my Athlon deadlines were due.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. And I remember at the time, I don't know if I've told this story on a podcast. I don't think I have. I may have told you this just like over the phone or whatever. This year, if you bought an Athlon preview, because I've been doing Coach Gossip now for like longer than I can remember, I don't know if I should say out loud, like I should apologize, but it was by far, because we're going to talk about Bills previews today, the most frustrating and sort of incomplete feeling experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
Because the anecdote that I have that I've told people in the industry was, and it's not like, it's none of the editors at Athlon's fault. It's just, I guess that's how the magazine industry works. But also Athlon wanted to be on stands before everyone else physically at Walmart and Barnes and Noble, whatever, like Memorial Day. So my first call, when they gave me the deadlines, I was just like, hey, you know this is impossible. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, like they were nice about it. I shouldn't say the yeah, well part, but they were just like, do what you can. We understand the situation. And I just said, this is going to have to become less of, you know, it used to be like I would call like a Big 12 coach and I would say, tell me about the other Big 12 teams. But it would be like, I'd call an offensive guy, I'd call a defensive guy or like whatever. For a while there, like some of the fired coaches who were analysts were like really good because they had a little bit more time. They'd also done more of the prep the previous season. And it was a little bit more of like, okay, well, what do you like about them on offense? What do you not like about offense? Like, oh, they have a strong position group. Like it was that level of detail. That was impossible, flat out impossible. Because the first guy I called, I just said, look, please don't laugh me off the phone. But I have to have all this turned in like by Easter or something. And he's like, oh yeah, I mean, we can talk about it. And then like it kind of sunk in for him, and I was like, hey, can you tell me about this team's offense? And finally he stopped. He goes, and this was a Power Four on-field assistant coach, and he just finally stopped and he goes, yeah, I'm not gonna be able to do this, not because like I'm mad at you or I don't want to do it. It's like I can't tell you who's gonna be in my position group room. Like right now, I have no idea. He's like, I have like one or two kids that might be in the position group that I know of on my team. So for you to ask me what the opposing team's offense, defense, you know, like if I'm a receivers coach, like what is their DB, you know, situation? He's like, we have no idea at all. And I don't think anyone does. And so trying to do this for a Memorial Day publication was just, at least at that level, was a fool's errand. So I reverted back to asking guys like, all right, well, what do you like about how they run their program? Or like, you know, give me kind of, give me the 3-year overview. It's funny. You know what it is? This is an old greatest hits of ours where you and I would laughingly, I'm going to pull it up right now. Don't get mad. So I have Phil right here. So you would open Phil. Phil's the king of this. And the first, when you go to like, when he, so I just randomly pulled up Arkansas 2025. The first paragraph on Phil's summary is just a history of the previous 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And I used to laugh at that for years. And now, like, it's the only thing we can do. There is essentially no way in our old system, in our old calendar, the way that you and I were trained to do it, to have accurate prognostication. I'm not saying you can't prognosticate accurately. I'm saying that, and maybe you would probably be able to like ascertain this date better than me, it would have to be after the 4th of July where we could all honestly start doing this process.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've done okay when it comes to most of the commits, the transfer commits in the spring are done by Memorial Day. And so there's still a trickle for sure. And there have been some kind of semi-interesting commits over these last 2-3 weeks even. But I mean, I'm a creature of, I love habits. I love routine. It's how I get as much done as I get done. And, you know, from 2011 at SB Nation and Football Study Hall through 2023 at ESPN, I, you know, would start my previews in February. They would humor me and they'd let me put up a Mac preview like some random Friday in late February and off we would go. And
I remember you would do Army because Army had the first spring practice. Yeah. Like you would, that was, I remember that being first.
Yeah. Like I love my traditions. So that was great. And in 2023, the little preview template that I had set up had like my 10 favorite players in the conference kind of deal. Right. It was like a 2-part conference series. So it was like 10 favorites from the East, 10 favorites from the West, whatever. And I did an AAC preview and put up my 10 favorites for whatever chunk of teams that was. And 3 weeks later, like 7 of them were gone. And that was the moment I realized, like, I can't do this anymore. It's impossible to preview teams if you're going to talk about actual players. Like, I can still do the SP Plus projections at kind of the higher level and whatever, and that's fine. But if you want an accurate read on who's going to be on what teams, you have to wait till Memorial Day. And that's basically what we do now. I put out an SP Plus update and, you know, off we go in late May. And that seems to be working okay. Not too many of those guys are gone by that point. But yeah, it's completely different and there's no way around it. And I'm not going to complain too much because, you know, it's harder on us, but it's better for the athletes who got screwed for 70 years. So that's fine. But it's definitely messy. And I know exactly why coaches continue to bang the drum for one transfer window. I don't see, I mean, we hear random like momentum builds or consensus grows. I don't see how it ever happens just because of the way the academic year is set up.
Right.
Because, I mean, you're going to make those guys finish the spring semester, even though they decided in December that they're going to go, and then you're going to have a window in late May, or you're going to have it in January, and then they can't leave at the end of the year. Like, I just don't understand how that would work, but I understand why coaches would want that.
It's almost as if academics is just merely window dressing for a large professional league of sports, but I digress. The thing that, when I was going through your previews after the fourth, I have had to sort of engineer myself to be more like the football consumer. I'm not doing the stat. Obviously, I'm not doing any of the stat lifting, the load work that you are. I'm not writing any previews. I'm just doing the offseason gossip, which was like criminally too early for, I feel like, for it to be accurate. And then to get a feel for it and feel accurate and feel informed is I'm just doing the thing that we kind of always used to preach on at Vox, which is like, all right, everybody comes back from the 4th of July. You sort of feel the momentum build. And this is even before like the media days calendar would fall that. So I started doing that. Like, I was out of the country over the 4th. I came back, grabbed a copy of Phil, grabbed a copy of like whatever was on the stands. then I started sort of like starting reading your stuff. And I feel like that's probably where I would still preach to people. Anything before that, like it's fine to do fun speculative stuff between spring and 4th of July. I just think it's going to be criminally inaccurate. But yeah, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, thinking about the old days and now, returning production, I know is sort of, I wouldn't say it's foundational for what you do, but it's definitely significant. And I was reading through the ACC preview last night. So I want to talk a little bit about the continuity table, because you have a returning production level. And we're going to get to Clemson in a second, because Clemson is still of the powers, I feel like, or the significant, you know, title significant schools. As we all know, Dabo is still sort of running this thing like it's not 2025. Yeah. Like he's still, you know, he's fighting hard for 2014, man. Like, so obviously they're going to skew higher and stuff like returning production, but just in case you guys haven't read this or in case you guys don't remember. So you have returning production level, so offense, defense overall, but then you have this qualifier now where it's the number of 2024 FBS starts from returning and incoming players. So
yeah.
And I know redshirts have always been a problem for the data because it's just it's such an inexact science. So I want to throw that out for a second. Do you feel comfortable treating returning starts for that team the same way that you would have another team who brings in a transfer? So in other words, if I have a lineman returning and he's got 20 career starts, but it's all for my team under my system. And then right. Team B has a lineman who transfers in with 20 career starts, but it's at a different school. From a data perspective or a consumer perspective, what I'm sitting here thinking is like, is there a way mathematically to sort of weight one over the other, or should I do that? Because I get conflicting reports from coaches on the value of that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, including the starts incoming and outgoing, like that specific number isn't in my projections. Obviously, it's very similar to what returning production is, but it's a little, I just found myself realizing I was counting starts a lot when I was starting to piece together previews. I was like, you know, how many transfers did you bring in, but how many of them were starters last year? And I sort of realized, like, let's set up a table where you can kind of see how these rosters come together. My gut says that the returning starts still matter quite a bit more. Well, one of the things I wanted to do this offseason, but I don't think I'm going to get to it because I decided to write a book, was splitting out like the whole returning production thing. Finally, just once and for all, splitting out what's returning production and what's incoming production. Because, you know, I'll still incoming get production, on social.
Incoming production like, would be the second thing like I described.
Right. Like you just signed a quarterback who threw for 2,000 yards last year. Therefore, you know, you're returning, quote unquote, his 2,000 yards, even though it wasn't for your school. It really is kind of mm-hmm. It's not returning, quote unquote, production really, but returning plus incoming. So I want to split those out and figure out, because I do figure there's a different weight that needs to be applied for those. I give half weight to FCS, but I'm pretty sure if we split it out like P4, G5, FCS, et cetera, like there'd be different weights for all that. I'd like to get to that point. The overall big number still works pretty well. Like the teams that are 78 or higher percent in return to production almost always improve. The ones that are below 40% or so almost always get worse. It's still a good number, but I just assume I could make it better by splitting things out and figuring out what the proper weighting for all that is. So that's still on the table, just probably not this year.
Oh, hey, sorry to interrupt. Not that sorry. If you want to hear the rest of this, all these fine musings between myself and Bill, as well as access to the entire catalog of Phantom Island, go to phantomisland.show, sign up today. It's as little as $10 a month. Actually, you can get it cheaper than that. If you sign up for an annual plan at our basic tier, you get it for $100 a year. Do some math. Figure that out. Don't worry. It had to be explained to me. I failed a lot of math colleges. A lot of math colleges I failed. Good job, Steven. All right. phantomisland.show. Thanks for enjoying the preview.